was a Wednesday night, and I had no idea that evening would change my life forever. I had been studying late in the dorm's common room, flipping through pages I could barely focus on. The clock ticked over to midnight, and most of the campus had gone still. Silent, save for the occasional creak of floorboards or the distant, muffled voices of those in their rooms. I should have gone to bed, but something made me stay up. Some strange restlessness I couldn't shake. Then I heard it. Three knocks at the door. Slow, deliberate. My heart gave a single hard thump in my chest. I looked around. No one else was awake. At least no one in my immediate vicinity. My roommate was out for the weekend, visiting family, so it was just me. I got up and moved toward the door. When I opened the door, there she was. Kara Welsh. I knew Kara, but only in the way you know someone through campus. She was popular, a gymnast. We had a class together once, but we'd never really spoken. What was she doing here? Kara? I asked, my voice catching my throat. Her eyes were wide, but not in the normal sense. Her hair hung in damp tendrils around her face, as if she had just run through the rain, but it hadn't rained in days.
Let me in.
She choked, shivering as she pushed past me into the room. I watched as she stood in the center of the space, her back to me. I was too stunned to stop her. Her shoulders were trembling, though not from the cold. Kara, you okay? I asked, moving toward her slowly. She turned her head just enough to let me see her profile, and my stomach dropped. There was something on her skin, a smear of red. Blood? I stepped back instinctively.
What happened?
She didn't answer right away, just stood there, swaying slightly.
She won't leave me alone.
She sobbed. Her eyes flicked to mine, wild and unfocused.
He's watching. He's always watching.
A chill ran down my spine. A stalker? I asked, bewildered. She didn't answer. Instead, she started pacing back and forth, her movements jittery, as if something was crawling under her skin. Every now and then, she would glance toward the window, as if expecting to see someone out there in the darkness.
I didn't mean to do it, Jose.
She broke down suddenly. Do what? She stopped pacing and looked at me, her eyes full of something I couldn't place. Guilt? Fear?
It was an accident,
she said, her voice barely audible.
No, he won't stop. He's here. He's everywhere.
I stepped toward her, trying to understand what she was talking about. Who's here? She didn't answer. She trembled as waves of hysteria traveled through her. I pulled the curtain and peeped outside, but there was nothing there, just the empty campus, bathed in the dim light of the street lamps. Kara sobbed harder, not wailing, but these broken, gasping sobs, like something inside her had snapped. I didn't know what to do. I should have called someone, anyone, but I was caught in the tension of the moment. Just as I was about to speak, Kara's body stiffened. Her eyes wide and terrified as the door behind me burst open. There he stood, a man, his face obscured by shadows, his presence overpowering. I couldn't move. He looked at Kara, and in one chilling second, I understood. It was him. It only took a second. He raised a gun. The sound of the shots rang out, and Kara collapsed in a pool of her own blood. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. It happened so fast. Too fast. The man didn't even glance in my direction. Without a word, he turned and walked out, disappearing into the night as if nothing had happened. For what felt like hours, I stared at Kara's lifeless body. The air was heavy with the scent of blood and death. The boys had come out of their rooms. Somebody during the commotion dialed 911. Soon, the world around me blurred into a fog of sirens, police, and paramedics. They were late, as I was. They arrested the man the next day, a 23-year-old classmate. No one knew why he did it. No one could explain why Kara, of all people, had been his target. And the questions lingered like ghosts as the investigation went on. Even though they caught him, the horror of that night won't leave me. It clung to the walls of the dorm to be recounted for eternity. We were shifted to another dorm, but sometimes late at night, when the campus is quiet, people still talk about Kara. They say they hear knocking, slow and deliberate, coming from behind the door of an empty room. Some say it's the sound of a restless soul. Others say it's Kara, still haunted by the questions that will never have answers. The alarm blared through the school, rattling me out of a lazy slump against my locker. At first, I rolled my eyes. Another drill? Typical. The teachers love making a big deal out of their safety protocols, especially after everything in the news lately. I yawned and gave Mason a smirk. Guess they're really committed to giving us a heart attack before finals, huh? Mason gave a half-hearted chuckle, but Ashley wasn't laughing. She had that panicked look. The echo of an announcement crackled over the PA system, the dean's voice, but there was something different about it, an edge of panic, announcing that this wasn't a drill. She sounds serious. The words barely settled in when the first gunshot echoed through the hallway. It wasn't a firecracker. It wasn't a prank. It was the unmistakable, gut-wrenching sound of something terrible happening. We looked at each other, the color draining from our faces. We need to get out of here. I knew about a hidden maintenance hallway from one of the janitors. It was a shortcut used to move cleaning supplies and avoid the chaos of the school's crowded corridors. I led my friends through the corridor, taking a sharp right at the end of the lockers, and pried open a door marked employees only. Mason grabbed Ashley's hand, guiding her in behind me. The air was musty, thick with the smell of bleach and floor wax. It was narrow, cramped, but at least it was away from the noise, the screaming, the shots. We moved quickly. Ashley's was crying, and Mason was as freaked out as me. As we rounded a corner, the PA system crackled to life again. It wasn't the dean this time, but Mr. Higgins, his voice trembling.
"We have to tell them. They deserve to know."
The dean cut him off, her voice tense.
"Not now. We can't risk it. They'll panic."
"They should panic. We knew this would happen. We let it happen."
I paused, holding up my hand to shush the others. We all strained to listen.
"We can't discuss this now. Focus on keeping the students safe."
The intercom cut out abruptly, leaving us standing there, a heavy silence hanging in the air. I exchanged a glance with Mason. What were they talking about? Something they knew? Something about one of the students? Ashley wiped her eyes. I didn't have an answer. We pressed on, pushing through a metal door that opened into the back lot. The cold air slapped me in the face, waking me up from the days of fear. Freedom. We made it. I turned to smile at Mason and Ashley, but that's when I saw him. A figure, standing in the shadows by the fence. He stepped into the light, and I felt my stomach drop. He wore all black, a mask covering most of his face, but I could see his eyes. Cold. Empty. The gun in his hand hung loosely at his side. He took a step towards us, and I instinctively moved in front of Ashley. My heart hammered in my chest, my mouth dry. I knew those eyes. It was Eric. His girlfriend was sexually assaulted the previous year, but the dean and management hushed the investigation since it happened in the school premises and would bring them a bad name. Eric had dropped out shortly after, frustrated at the lack of action.
"Eric, please, this is not the way to punish them."
The shooter tilted his head as if considering my words. For a moment, the world seemed to slow down. The distant sounds of sirens, the muffled screams, it all faded away. He took another step and I closed my eyes, waiting, but then walked away through the secret passage we had come from. I stood there, frozen, until Mason grabbed my arm, pulling me toward the gate. We ran out, Ashley sobbing, Mason breathing heavily. But my mind was somewhere else. He wasn't after the students. He was after the school. The administration that knew, that watched and did nothing. The teachers, the dean, they let it happen. They ignored the warnings, dismissed the complaints. And now, this was the price.
We made it to the main road, the flashing lights of police cars blinding me, the voices of officers shouting orders, a distant blur. I rushed up to the first officer and told them everything that I knew. They chased after Eric through the secret passageway as well, while we were escorted away in the back of a cruiser. Few shots were fired a few minutes later. The police got to Eric before he could do something to the dean and others. No student was harmed, but while Eric took the wrong path, somehow the system made him go there. Truly a tragedy when gentle souls are pushed down this path. The lockdown alarm blared through the school, yanking me out of my daydream. I'd been staring at the clock during history class and slept, but the alarms went off. At first, we all assumed it was another drill, but something felt different. The tone of the announcement over the intercom was frantic, the principal's voice cracking with fear. My heart pounded as Mrs. Reynolds clicked the classroom door shut and turned the lock. She motioned for us to get under our desks, the lights already off. Whispers spread across the room like wildfire, but I stayed silent, my breath caught in my throat. The only thought racing through my mind was Jake, my twin brother. Jake wasn't there. He'd skipped school again. Lately, he had been skipping more and more, avoiding PE class ever since Mr. Grady had started singling him out. Jake had always been an easy target for bullies, but Mr. Grady never helped. If anything, he encouraged it, made Jake the punchline of his jokes. But I was just relieved. Jake wasn't there. At least he was safe. The minutes dragged on, tension mounting with every second. We could hear footsteps in the hallway, faint but deliberate. Mrs. Reynolds stood near the door, her face pale, her eyes fixed on the handle as though it might turn at any moment. Suddenly, the sharp crack of a gunshot rang out. The room froze. I felt my stomach drop, my heart pounding so hard I thought it might burst. Another shot, louder, closer this time. Screams echoed from down the hall, and then nothing. Just silence. Mrs. Reynolds whispered for us to stay calm, her voice trembling.
"It's going to be okay,"
she said, but we all knew it wasn't. Not when someone was out there, armed, and we were sitting ducks. The intercom crackled to life, startling us all. A distorted voice echoed through the speakers.
"The dean fulfills my demands or I start killing hostages."
My stomach lurched. Hostages? My mind raced, trying to make sense of it. Who could be doing this? The principal's announced, locked in his office, that he doesn't negotiate with terrorists. A cold, cruel voice came back over the intercom.
5 students in room 306. I'll give you 10 minutes.
306. Biology. My heart sank. My crush. My love, Emily, had that class. Mrs. Reynolds didn't hesitate. Now certain about where the shooter was, she gestured for us to follow her to the back door, which led into a maintenance hallway. It was our only chance. I moved with the others, my heart pounding. We slipped out, moving in tense silence. But as we reached the stairwell, more gunshots rang out. Close. Too close. A bullet shattered the window next to me. Mrs. Reynolds screamed, dragging one of the students down, but we were pinned, close to room 306. We heard sirens. The shooter was likely shooting out from the window at the cops. Something happened to me just then. I leapt out and ran the other way, only halting as I arrived at room 306 and glanced carefully through the glass at the door. My heart sank. Emily was there, tied up along with 5 other students. The shooter was hiding beside the window, taking shots outside. My breath caught in my throat. I couldn't leave her. I had to do something for Emily. I crept into the maintenance room next to the supply closet. It connected to room 306 through a small storage hatch. My heart pounded in my ears as I pulled a wrench from a shelf, gripping it tightly. I edged closer to the door, my breath shallow. Peeking through the crack, I saw the shooter, his back turned to me, his gun aimed at outside at the cops. In one swift motion, I opened the door and swung the wrench as hard as I could. It connected with a sickening thud, and the shooter crumpled to the floor, the gun slipping from his hand. I dropped the wrench, my hands trembling as I knelt beside him. Blood pooled around his head, and he fell unconscious. The hostages rushed out screaming, and the police charged in. I stood in shock, my fingers fumbling to pull off his mask. That's when my heart stopped. The face staring back at me was Jake, my twin brother. I stumbled backward, my mind reeling. How? Why? He wasn't supposed to be here. He couldn't be the shooter. But there he was, unconscious, the gun beside him. The police burst into the room seconds later, dragging Jake away. But I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. Later, they told me what happened. Jake had been pushed too far, tormented until he snapped. He'd planned this, skipping school to avoid suspicion, returning with a gun to target Mr. Grady, the man who had made his life a living hell. But it had spiraled out of control when he couldn't get to Grady. I stopped the shooter, but the price was too high. I had saved them, only to find out the person behind the mask was my own brother.